Welcome to our candlelight service. Someone at 8 o'clock said, it's like a throwback service back to the Middle Ages. But it is cold, and so I may cut my sermon short. I hope you don't mind. We have this morning the Ten Commandments in our first lesson. And as Christians, we don't always know what to do with those Ten Commandments. I hear people reflect on them and think, well, perhaps they're about a kind of ethical system, or maybe they're a moral guideline. We don't know what to do with them, particularly in light of we follow Jesus. And we don't know what to do with them in light of the fact that we have the Gospels and the whole witness of the New Testament. So what is our relationship to the Ten Commandments? Well, what's clear about the Ten Commandments is for the people of Israel, they were not an ethical framework or a moral guideline. They were instead an invitation to a life of holiness. They are, in a way, a fulfillment and explanation or an expansion of the covenant that we heard about last week, the covenant that God made with Abraham. When Abraham is called, along with Sarah and his immediate family, out of the land they have lived in to go to an unknown land, with this vague promise that the descendants of Abraham and Sarah will be as numerous as the stars of the sky. And I say vague because Abraham and Sarah are old when this call comes, when this covenant is made with God. And Sarah is thought to be unable to have children. And yet Abraham and Sarah set out. And we heard that in last week's first lesson from the book of Genesis. And God makes a covenant saying, I will be your God forever, and I will care for you. The Ten Commandments are, in a way, a continuation of that relationship, that covenant with God, in which God articulates what this means. And so for the people of Israel, the Ten Commandments offer an invitation and a kind of structure. God will be their God, and here is how God is calling the people to live. And the passage we have today from the book of Exodus comes after the people have been freed from slavery in Egypt, led through the Red Sea, and are now in the wilderness. And Moses goes up Mount Sinai and receives the two tables of the law, those tablets which are the articulation of this covenant. And so it is a structure, an invitation to live by holiness given to the community. There are two tables, and there are two parts to the law. The first, and we hear it at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, are about our relationship with God, how we're called to live. We're called to honor God and only God, and not to worship any of the other gods, which may be really important for the people of Israel as they're coming into the promised land, a land where other peoples live, peoples who have their own gods that they worship. And God is calling the people of Israel to not give in to the temptation to worship anyone but the Lord God. The other part of the commandments are about our relationship with one another and for the well-being of the community, of not murdering, of not stealing, of honoring father and mother, knowing that we come from a larger community, that we don't exist as isolated individuals, to not bear false witness or to covet, those things which can actually poison the relationships of the community, as resentment and hostility can potentially build up between people if there is false things that are said or covetousness that is happening. And so they're calling the people to a way of life which is the way that God intends for them, a way of life which we might sometimes think of as restrictive or prohibitive, but which God intends to be the way that will lead them into the fullness of life, into the life that God desires them to have. Now, as I said, for us as followers of Jesus, we can wonder, well, what do the commandments have to say to us, and what do we do with them, and is it not a choice between the Ten Commandments and following Jesus, living by the Gospels? But of course, I think actually that Jesus embodies the fullness of these Ten Commandments in his life and ministry, and certainly in his death and resurrection. That Jesus shows us how we are called to live lives of holiness that are rooted in loving the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul. And also how we're called to love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus showing that most clearly by going willingly to his death in Jerusalem, giving his very life for his love of God's people. And so Jesus is the fullness, the expression of, the embodiment of, as the incarnate God in our midst, those 10 commandments which are fulfilled in a way in him. Which leads us to our gospel this morning, where we have that story which may potentially make us a little uncomfortable. It's a Jesus we don't always like to think about, perhaps. The Jesus who gets angry at injustice, who makes a cord, a whip out of cords, and then goes and turns over tables and drives out animals and people from the temple. Sometimes we can think about Jesus being gentle and kind and good. Those are words that we hear used in our tradition. But there's Jesus angry. Now, John doesn't tell us exactly why Jesus is angry. In the other Gospels, we're told Jesus is angry because there's injustice happening, that temple tax is being abused. People are making money by preying on the poor economically. To go to the temple meant you had to pay the tax, but you can't use Roman money to do that because it is an image of the emperor, and it calls the emperor God, violating the commandments. And so money had to be changed from Roman money to temple money, which has no image of the emperor, nowhere does it call the emperor a god. But in that was the potential for abuse and gouging and actually taking more from the poor. But John doesn't say that. John says instead that Jesus is angry because the temple, his father's house, has become a marketplace. And he wants to drive out the animals, the money changers. Jesus is calling us to right worship of God, calling us to honor the Lord our God and not turn that temple into a place of business, but instead a place of holiness. But more than that, Jesus is also saying, the temple's coming to an end. For I am God incarnate in your midst. We don't need the temple anymore. God is not confined to the temple. God is instead present in the flesh, in the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was fully human, fully divine. And so, in saying that, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days, they miss what Jesus is saying. But he's saying, the temple doesn't matter anymore. And now, in me, is where God is made known. God is present to you here in your midst. I think these lessons offer us a call during this Lenten season. One of the commentaries I consulted talked about the Ten Commandments and our Anglican practice, as we did this morning, of chanting those at the beginning of the liturgy on the Sundays in Lent. It's a venerable Anglican practice, although it may seem odd given our maybe not fully knowing what to make of the Ten Commandments. But one commentator suggested it's a good way to begin in Lent for the Ten Commandments as the articulation of God's covenant, of that call to holiness, can be put before us so we can see how is it that we have been faithful in living this life God calls us to, and how have we not? To use this season of Lent to be honest about the ways we have been faithful and the ways that we have fallen short. And to have those Ten Commandments before us offer that call of God and that chance to see how we have done and how God is calling us to keep this season of Lent, that we might move ever more into that life of holiness, evermore become the people God would have us be. Also, the gospel, I think, gives us that call to not be at peace with oppression. If Jesus gets angry when there is injustice, so too can we get angry when there is injustice and do that hard work of bringing about God's justice in this world, to not make peace with oppression, to not make peace with those places where people are oppressed, treated badly, treated unjustly, that God desires wholeness and justice to reign. And then finally, I think the gospel invites us to ask the question, where is Jesus asking us to be cleansed? Where is God calling us to make changes, to live life slightly differently than we are, to put in place maybe some new practices, those Lenten questions of how we're called to live? I think we have the invitation in this gospel to open ourselves to God's call and see where God would have us be as we journey through these weeks of Lent, as we come to the fullness of Holy Week and Easter Day. And so, may we take seriously that call to holiness, trusting that God desires to be faithful to the covenant even now, living with us in love and calling us into that life God desires for us to have. And may we use this season of Lent to take stock of our lives and to open ourselves to that call of God, that we might say yes to that life which leads to the fullness that God intends for us, that full life of love in relationship with God. Amen.